This morning, I want to consider with you the burden that God placed upon his son. That is my subject. The burden that God placed upon his son. In two places, Isaiah uses a particular word, and it means to bear a heavy load. It means to bear a heavy load. What Isaiah is saying in the language that he's chosen is that this Son of God, this servant of the Lord, bore a very heavy load. And that's what I want to think about this morning, the load which he bore. Twice that word is used, once in verse 4 and once in verse 11. So Jesus was carrying a very heavy load. What was that load? In verse 11, it says that he shall bear the iniquities of many. He shall bear the iniquities of many. And I do want you to look again at verse 6. Look at verse 6. We know these words so well, but look at it. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let me read to you that verse again and translate it a little bit differently. All of us, like sheep, have erred or wandered. Each man to his own way has turned. We have turned. And the Lord has laid upon him what? The iniquity of all of us. The iniquity of all of us. I want you to think with me about what this means, that the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of all of us. He uses that word all of us twice. It's the first word in verse 6. It's the last word in verse 6. He's saying all of us. In other words, all the people of God are involved in this. Think about it. The weight of every sin of every one of his people, he carried the lot. I ask you to think about yourself this morning. Listen, every day, every hour of your life, the sins of every day, the iniquities of every hour of your life, he carried. Think about it. Dwell on it. Every commandment that you have broken, he bore that. Every call of love, every call of obedience from God that you have refused, he bore that. Most of you know the Ten Commandments. Consider them. When you have broken those commandments, those sins, that guilt fell upon him, was placed upon him. Every commandment broken. What about the great commandments, the two great commandments of love? Every time you and I have not loved the Lord our God with all our heart, soul and strength, he bore that sin. And every time we have not loved one another as we have loved ourselves, or even as Christ has loved us, he bore those sins as well. And then I ask you to think about the fruit of the Spirit. You can read about the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart and life of a child of God. And the Bible talks about that. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it goes on to list what the Spirit does. These are the things that please God. But every time the fruit of the Spirit has been lacking in you, that has been sin, and Christ has borne all of that too. Let me say to you, every time you have envied someone else or been jealous of someone else, he bore that. Every time you have turned a look of lust upon someone who is not your wife or your husband, or you have coveted the property of someone else. Every time you have had coveted thoughts, let alone theft, he has borne those things. Every time you have spoken an unkind word, every lie that you have told, every hurt done to your neighbour, every proud look, which one of us can say that we have never looked at someone else with a proud look? All of it, everything that we have done, every selfish ambition. Think about you, think about your own life. I tell you, things in the past that you may have forgotten, in one sense, that's if you have forgotten them, yet Christ bore those things. I was tempted to say, God has not forgotten them, but in Christ he has. Of course he has. But the point here is, this is the load that our Lord Jesus was carrying for you. And now, think not only of yourself, but think of the many who are with you. Think of the many. Think of every generation that has passed through this world. In every part of this world, every continent, every land, there's going to be a multitude saved that no man can number, a multitude that you and I cannot count. But Christ bore the iniquities of all of us, says the prophet, or I can say, of all of them. That's what he did. Now, Isaiah is quite clear. He has borne the iniquities that we have, that are on us. But he goes on also in verses 3 and 4, and he says, he has borne our sorrows as well. Now, he says it twice in there, in those verses 3 and 4. He has borne our sorrows. In fact, we almost define Christ like this. We call him, we sing about him as the man of sorrows. But what are these sorrows? The word in Hebrew means the pains. But what pains? Sometimes it means physical pains. But more often it means the mental pains. And it's thinking, the prophet is thinking about, as it were, the mental agonies that are due because of our iniquities. I'll tell you, this word is used in Lamentations in like this. Listen to these words. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Says the prophet, he says, behold and see. Listen, if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted on me in the day of his anger. That's what he's thinking of. The sorrows inflicted by God in the day of his anger. But is it nothing to you, says the prophet? Is there any sorrow like my sorrow? And the answer is, yes, there is. It's the sorrows that Christ bore. What is Isaiah saying? He suffered what? The punishment of our sins. The wrath of God fell upon him. No wonder the prophet says he was pierced. We saw this last week in Psalm 22. They pierced my hands and my feet. The prophet says he is crushed. Crushed is the word. Or you could say it was bruised. Bruised. The prophet says to us, God smote him. We could see that he was in trouble. We could see that he was plagued and afflicted. But God did it. We understood that God did this. And you see, the prophet says, right at the beginning of that passage, he says, the bearing of those sorrows, right, was so awful. He says that he was disfigured more than any man. That's the word he uses. He says, many were astonished. Our translation is many were astonished at him. The word means they were appalled at him. When they looked at Jesus dying on the cross for us, they were appalled at him. And the writer said, we couldn't look. We hid our faces from him. We couldn't look. He was so disfigured, so disfigured. As we saw last week, Psalm 22 unpacks all this. And the writer twice, the prophet says twice again, he says, do you know, he did not open his mouth. Under all of that, he didn't bleat. He didn't complain. He took it without a murmur. That's what the prophet Isaiah wants us to understand. Well, that is the burden that Christ bore. That is it. He bore their iniquities. Your sins and mine fell upon him. He bore the sorrows, the agonies that came under the wrath of God because of them. That's for the load that he was carrying. No wonder the prophet says he was bearing a heavy load, a heavy load. And then we ask the question, before we leave this chapter, we ask the question, why? Why was he bearing that heavy load? And you find the answer in the very first line of the passage we read. Behold, my servant, my servant. He was bearing that heavy load as the servant of God. In other words, God had sent him to bear that load. The work that God had given to his son is, my son, bear the load of the sins of your people. Bear their iniquities. Suffer the punishment due to them. That's what he was bearing. Why? Because God appointed him to do it. He had received a commission from the Father. Behold my servant. That's what the prophet says. Twice he says, you know, if you read this passage again, notice how many times the prophet repeats the same thing. Twice he says that it was the will of the Lord for him to do this. Now the word will of the Lord is a word that means the pleasure of the Lord. It means that God was delighted that his son would go through this. This is astonishing. Don't you find this astonishing? That God, the Father, could be delighted that his son should bear that load for us. You see, don't you see that Isaiah is explaining for us Golgotha. Golgotha means the place of the skull. In the Latin is Calvaria, Calvary. He's explaining the crucifixion. When you see Christ crucified, understand this is what he's doing there. His suffering, to cut it short, his suffering was for my transgressions and yours. That's why he suffered. As the hymn writer puts it, we sing this, I love this hymn, in my place condemned he stood. In my place condemned he stood. Can you sing that? Can you really sing that from your own heart? Lord, in my place condemned you stood. And you see, because of this, because God sent him to do this, and because he did it, God now regards every one of his children who believe in him as righteous or as innocent, as washed in the blood of the Lamb. So I close then by asking this question. What does this say to us this morning? We have seen the load that Jesus bore. What does it do? What does it say to us this morning? Well, first of all, it tells us how great, we'll use the word, condescension. The great condescension of the Lord Jesus. What I mean by that is the word condescension means that he stooped down to come to our position, to our need. He stooped down to sinners and died for us. That's what he did. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says to us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't come for righteous people. He came for those who needed him to come, that he might die for them. He died for us. And when we think about this, surely one of the first things that we should say is, and how undeserving am I? What is the hymn that says these words? Unworthy Lord, to gather up the crumbs. What's the hymn writer trying to say? Lord, I'm like that Canaanite woman who didn't deserve anything, but she asked for the crumbs from the master's table, and the hymn writer says, I don't think I'm even worthy of that. Unworthy, Lord, to gather up the crumbs. What about the hymn writer who said in that hymn, Lord, I crucified thee, I did. Can you say that? Can you see that in yourself? Lord, I crucified thee, I did it. What is he conscious of? He's conscious that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and the sins that you and I might reflect upon today, the sins were, as it were, adding to the load that he bore at Calvary. We were the ones, by those sins, that drove the nails through his hands and through his feet. We were the ones who put the crown of thorns on his head and the Roman scourge across his back. We did that. We did it. You see, when you come to think about this, this defines the nature of our connection with the Lord Jesus. You see, our connection with him is a connection that we have as sinners. We have a connection of need with him. This is the connection with Christ. We come to him as a sinner, needy, guilty, lost. That's how we come to him. And if your connection with him is not that, it's not anything. If you cannot connect with Christ that way, as a sinner, needy, guilty, lost, you have not connected with him at all. That's the connection. That is it. Think of the Apostle Paul. He says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners, of whom I am chief. And he goes on to speak about the grace of God to him, the chief of sinners. No wonder the prophet here says, in the last line or two, he says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He stood with you and me. He stood with us. Think of the woman. Think of those who have owned him as sinners. Think of the woman who went into Simon the Pharisee's house. And you know what she did? She wept over him. She anointed his feet with her tears and dried them with the hair of her head. What did Jesus say? She has been forgiven much, and she loves much. She was one who connected with him as a sinner who needed his salvation. What about the man in the temple? He stood against the back wall or wherever it was, afar off. What did he say? God, be propitiated towards me. What? The sinner, the sinner. That man went home to his house justified, says the gospel. Matthew or Luke, he went home justified. And I do ask you whether you, and you may say I don't, do you remember a time when the Holy Spirit opened your eyes and your heart to see your need of Christ? Has that happened to you? That the awareness of your unworthiness before God has dawned upon you? Well, we can think of his great stooping down to us. Secondly, and I will be brief, here we see the greatness of his love for us. What does the Bible say about this? It says this, if you want to measure the love of Christ for you, measure it by the weight of the burden that he bore. It's when you look at the cross, John says this in 1 John chapter 4, he says, look at the cross, he says, you see, this is love. That God sent his son to be that sacrifice for our sins. This is love, that Christ came to die for us. That is love. If you want to understand the love of God this morning, you'll see it at Calvary, and you'll see it in the load that he bore. How could he have borne that weight of our sins if he did not love us? Surely not. Surely, when you think about what he did for us, you say, well, he did love me. He does love me, a sinner. Can you not say to yourself, I am forgiven much, and so I must love him much? I tell you, it's only when you see the love of God to you in Christ, only when you've really begun to see that, then the love of Christ will be sown in your heart. And the fruit of that is that God will be glorified in you and in the church. He is not glorified in us and in the church if the love of Christ is absent from our hearts. I leave it with you. The love of Christ. And then finally this morning, in this we discover the security of our souls. Does anyone here struggle with the assurance of salvation? Do you ever worry sometimes, go home and feel that perhaps you are not saved? The foundation of the assurance of salvation is found right here. No wonder the prophet asked the question, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord, he's thinking of Christ, the arm of the Lord being revealed. And I say to you this, if you have believed our report, and if you have seen the arm of the Lord, then in this work that he did is the foundations of your, I should say foundation, of your eternal security. If you want assurance of sins, read Isaiah 53. Go to Calvary. Consider the load that he has borne. It's because he has borne that load, that particular load, not anything else, but those iniquities and those sorrows of soul, the agonies of soul, because he has done that. There you have the sureness of salvation. I ask the question to close, who has believed Isaiah's report? Have you believed Isaiah's report? You've heard me speak briefly this morning. Have you said in your soul, I have believed these things? This is my confession of faith. This is the Saviour that I'm holding on to. Is this true? Well, you might say, no, these are new things to me. If they're new things to you, I plead with you to think about what we've heard this morning. Read it again. Consider your lives and consider Calvary. There, these are the things which we have to understand to have eternal life, to die in peace, not to die in our sins. Please consider these things. I ask you who will say to me, yes, I have believed these things. I ask you another question. Then, have you surrendered your life to Christ? What effect has it had upon you? If you say, yes, I believe these things, what's been the effect? Have you gladly said, Lord, you are my Saviour? And have you gone on to say, Lord, you are my Lord? You bought me with a price. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. The price of the precious blood of Christ. From this day on, Lord, I live in you. And I live for you. Amen.